Conversations with Friends is a new series.
A series within a series.
Creative conversations between writer friends.
We were blown away by the calibre of the pitches we received from established, mid-career, debut and emerging writers.
From those writing poetry, fiction, non-fiction, plays, newsletters and PhDs.
Conversations to get you through these strange COVID days and beyond.
Sit back, stay home and enjoy.
This Conversations with Friends episode is with Poppy Nwosu and Sonia Bates. Sonia Bates is a writer of adult and children's fiction living in Adelaide, South Australia. She was shortlisted for the inaugural Banjo Prize in 2018 for an unpublished manuscript, which was published by HarperCollins Australia in April 2020 as Inheritance of Secrets. With a long history of successfully publishing books for children, Inheritance of Secrets is Sonia's debut adult novel.
Poppy Nwosu is an author of YA fiction. Her debut novel, Making Friends with Alice Dyson, was shortlisted for the 2018 Adelaide Festival Unpublished Manuscript Award and the 2019 Readings Young Adult Book Prize, and will be published by Walker Books, US, in America in late 2020. Her second novel, Taking Down Evelyn Tate, was published in April 2020. So just out.
Yes.
So like so many of our authors that were featured on Conversations with Friends have published into a pandemic. And I really loved their discussion of this. I thought it was very honest and true.
Absolutely. Really heartwarming to hear the level of support from the Australian writing community, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I know. Sometimes I think. And also the little communities within it, like the YA community, the children's, the romance, etc. I really liked also that kind of discussion of the complicated feelings around how
I have written that down as well, the gap between how you do actually feel and how if you were looking at this moment, you know, 10 years past looking forward, how you would think you would feel.
Yeah. And I think Poppy says something like, you know, people don't want to listen to a published author complain about how hard it is. And yet Sonia says, inside you're still that writer who's hoping to get published. And it's just so hard to make those two things connect.
So it is, I think, so true, that thing about pre-publication. I remember a teacher that we had at RMIT was sort of talking about, once your book gets accepted by the publisher, there's a lot of work through the editing process to get it up to scratch. No one is sympathetic to that work. No, like if you're in the pre stage,
yeah, suck it up and be happy
forever, always.
Yeah, forever. And I think, like, obviously Poppy and Sonia recorded this episode a couple of weeks ago. We're recording it at the end of this just shitful week, let's be honest. So at the end of the week of protests about the death in custody of George Floyd in the US and the protests since then, and the highlighting, I suppose, by activists in Australia who've been telling stories about black deaths in custody in this country for a very long time. We're actually going to be talking about that in next week's episode, so we won't go into that here. But we have talked about this before. What happens when world events just eclipse your book's release, which has happened for a bunch of people who were June 2nd releases this week and their books came out on a day where, you know, people were blacking out their social media. So it's, I'm so sympathetic to that, to all the causes and to that. And I really liked what Jane Rawson and Bram Presser said on Twitter this week, which was just, it's been a shit of a year for authors with books coming out. It's been a shit of a year for a lot of people, but just to highlight those books and to retweet where possible and to show that love. So I think, you know, for Poppy and Sonia and for the other writers coming up in this little time, that's a really complicated kind of space to be in as well.
Oh, totally. But yet Poppy sort of talks about having had opportunities she might not have had. So this online space, although inferior in some ways, does have some advantages in the sense that you know, you don't have to travel to get to a place.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that was Chrissy Neen's advice in her episode too to people with books coming out at the moment, like be really lateral about in your thinking about what is offered in this online space too and what you can get to and what you can offer. So I think that's really good. I wanted to ask you, Catherine, because Poppy asked Sonia about writing something completely different, like the way she's been a children's writer and she's gone to adult. And this is kind of something that you're playing with a little bit in working in different with different kinds of projects. How do you see it playing out in your career as a whole?
I guess I don't really think about it in terms of the impact of any one decision at a point in time. I probably ultimately see myself as a generalist. So I don't think I'm an author. I just think I like doing different things and I'll see where they take me.
That's very cool. I think that that should be in your email signature. Catherine Collette, generalist in life.
Well,
in
the general. Flip side to that is, you know, if you specialise in something, you get very good at that thing. Well, you can be a jack of all trades, but a master of none. But it's interesting it's interesting you pick up on that point, because I was actually going to ask the same of you. Do you think when you start a project, does any part of you think, should I write this? Or what is the impact of me writing this? Because you obviously had come from a very historical first novel, which is... Mm. I don't think you'd call it genre, would you? Is historical novel a genre? But it's certainly got a specific following, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I definitely wrote away from it with the next book, though I'm going back to it for book three. But having said that, you know, I have got that other half-written middle grade fiction
That's
book,
true.
Which my daughter is apt to finish. And that was a very clear discussion with my agent that wasn't the book to be writing right now.
Yep.
In terms of a career as a whole. So let's put out a couple of adult books and then you can do these other things.
So that's the sort of advice, the roadmap?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that was the advice. And I suppose, you know, I'm falling. I was just explaining to you before we started recording that I'm falling deep into the next book at the moment. So, you know, it's working for me now. But I suppose, yeah, there's a level of pragmatism in all of those decisions.
Mm. Well, you only have so much time. You only have so much time.
Exactly. Enjoy this conversation with Poppy and Sonia.
Okay. Hi, Sonia.
Hi, Poppy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Seems like ages since I've seen you.
Well, if this is considered seeing this day and age.
I wasn't considering this as seeing, so yeah, seeing you in person.
Yeah, it has been ages. So I guess we're talking writing stuff today, and I thought we would kick off because the last time we sort of chatted with each other, your book had been, you know, your new book just out, right in the middle of a pandemic. We kind of talked that very first week, but I haven't kind of touched base with you for a couple of weeks since then, so I'm kind of interested in how you are and how you're feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I'm good. It's been quite a whirlwind, really. I feel like it's, you know, not at all what I expected, but been really busy, and I've had to sort of accommodate to the different means of trying to get some promotion going with the book. And it's so exciting to see it out in bookstores. I'm so glad that we can go into bookstores now and actually see if it's on the shelves. But in terms of the promotion and all that, it's not anything like what I had expected.
Yeah, of course. I mean, same for me. Like, mine has come out just a couple of weeks before yours, and really, it's just like right out into the thick of everything being very, very different. So it has been strange. I feel like I feel like it's gone as well as I could have hoped, I think, considering.
Yeah, I would agree with that when this pandemic first happened and I knew that the book was coming out like right when things were completely shutting down, I was just like, oh my God, like, what's going to happen? I've worked on this book for so, so long. This is like my opportunity to actually have a book out there. And, you know, it's just going to fizzle. That's honestly what I was thinking. But it's been way better than I expected. You know, there's been so much support from the reading community and the book community and writers and bloggers and people doing podcasts. And I think people have really rallied. They know that people are struggling trying to get their books out there. And the good thing is that people are still reading.
Yeah, that's very true. And I feel like it's kind of weird, but I think, you know, obviously we're both here in Adelaide and we're sort of normally a little bit cut off, I guess, from a lot of the East Coast readers. And I think there's a bigger sort of book community over that way. And I think in a really weird way, I think, you know, because this is my second book that's just come out, and I feel like maybe because of the pandemic, even though obviously it's all awful, but I think I've had some more promotion kind of opportunities than I probably would have, like in terms of getting a wider spread kind of audience. You know, like for instance, next month I'm joining up with some other YA authors whose books also came out in April. So like Sarah Epstein and Anna Waitley and Kay Kerr, and we're doing a panel for Readings. And Readings is obviously in Melbourne and I'm in Adelaide, and it's not something I'd normally ever really get the opportunity to do without, you know, hopping on a plane. So it's been interesting.
That's a really good point. I think that, and I would agree that because we're having to do everything online, there's no sort of restrictions about who you can promote to and what sort of events you can do, because Zoom is Zoom or Skype is Skype. And we can all, I mean, you can even do international stuff if you want, I suppose. But it's interesting that you've got that comparison with the first book coming out since Inheritance of Secrets is basically my first one here in Australia. So you've got that to compare to.
And I don't know if that's like it's because it's my second book and maybe I have some readers now and so there's more interest. But at the same time, like, I don't know if it's true, but I heard people always say that a debut book gets like more interest than your second book. So I don't really know. I don't think that's been my experience, but I wonder if that is true or not. Like, apparently people get more excited if your book's a debut. I don't know.
Yeah, I certainly know that they sort of push that this is your debut novel. For me, my debut adult novel kind of thing. So I don't know. I suppose unless you're a big author that, you know, it's, you know, oh, you know, their next bestseller kind of thing. It's a big thing for it to be a debut, and people are looking for new authors, maybe.
I don't know. It's interesting. I guess I wanted to ask too, just like, about your feelings having the book out. Like, obviously you said it's really nice to see it in the bookstore and stuff, and I don't know about you, but I find book launch month like really weird. Like, it's so great to have achieved the thing like that I've been setting out to achieve for so long, but at the same time I feel like I never feel the way about it that I think I should or expect to. And in some ways, like, I shouldn't say it, but like the whole experience is a bit like bleh sometimes, like really distressing.
Yeah, I would kind of agree with that. My mood really goes up and down. You know, sometimes I'm really excited about it. Other times I'm absolutely terrified. You know, like my book is actually out there. People are reading it. Oh, no, what are they going to say?
Yeah.
And other times I'm just kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, things are normal. Like, I, you know, shouldn't my life be changing because I've now got a book out there, you know? But I'm still just me. I'm still... you know, writing what I've always written, and nothing momentous has happened, you know, to change me as a person. So, I don't know. It is a bit weird.
It's a funny experience. I think it's just like that expectations versus reality. And it's one of those things that you don't feel like comfortable to be really open about on social media or anything, like the fact that your book's out and you're really happy about it, but also you might feel like really crappy a lot of the time just because it's so scary. And I think that is the last thing that people want to hear from you, like during your launch month. Like, you're supposed to be so happy. And I think particularly if you say via social media, you've got a network of aspiring writers as well who are still like, or aspiring to be published writers. And they're kind of looking at you as having everything that they desperately want. Like, I know that's how I felt back before, you know, I got my first publishing contract. I was so desperate for it. It's all I wanted. And I certainly wouldn't have liked listening to a published author like complaining about how stressful like launch month is.
Yeah, yeah. You certainly have that feeling that you have to put forth your professional face kind of thing and mm-hmm. be, you know, positive and confident and I don't know, but inside you're still just that writer that was hoping to get published, and
yeah.
now it's happened, and it's all kind of scary, you know.
I
agree, especially on social media. It's hard for me, anyways, to kind of put forth how I'm really feeling about things. Like I'm so careful about what people will think and what people might say, and that you might turn people off, and they think, you know, well. You know, she's not a real writer. Look at how, you know, so unconfident she is, and you know, she's worried about all these things about, you know, how people might judge her book, or that things might be wrong in it or something, and you know, like, so I don't know, maybe that's that you just, might turn people off or something. But
that's social media, though, isn't it? Like, it's such a, like, it sounds weird to say, because everyone says to do well at social media, you should be honest and open, and you should like connect with people on a real level, but at the same time you do have to be so strategic over what you're open and honest about and how you present yourself. And there is something like weirdly calculating about, like, I think the whole thing, like doing well at it, social media, it's such a, I don't know, like before I kind of jumped on the author thing, I actually wasn't on social media at all. So my whole experience with social media has been, how do you use it as an author to, you know, kind of connect with the readership and build a community and connect in with your author community. So yeah, I kind of like, I love it because it's good and it works, and I've connected with so many authors and readers, and I do have fun on Instagram, but I also sometimes I hate it as well. It seems very invasive and weird, but I get it. It's useful.
Yeah, me too. And I wasn't on social media before this, really, either. I mean, a little bit. I had a small circle of people that really were my friends on Facebook, you know, people that I knew in real life, and it was a way of kind of showing them what was happening in my life, that kind of thing. But I've never been somebody that kind of wants to just put myself out there and say, hey, world, look at me, you know, and it's kind of like, well, that's my private stuff, you know. So yeah. I am very careful about what I put on social media and what I want to share. I need to know that, okay, I don't, you know, this is something that I don't care if it goes completely public and everybody knows about before I'll put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
But it is, I agree that, you know, it's been a really good way to connect with other writers and to support other writers as well, and to find out what they're writing and what books are out, and find new authors to read.
Yeah.
I love hearing recommendations from people and reading the reviews and finding a new author that I end up loving.
Yeah,
so it's definitely got a lot of positive things to it as well.
Upsides and downsides.
I do find it stressful at times.
I do too. I find it really stressful, actually. Like, yeah, I do. And you know what else I was thinking, like, recently? It's really weird, and I hadn't thought about it, but like the social media that I enjoy the most, and I like kind of hate all the rest of them, is I like Instagram, and I guess I like it for Bookstagram. So particularly with YA, there's such a strong YA community in Australia, and you can really connect in with them and like share what YA books you're reading and that kind of stuff, which I really enjoy. But I was also thinking, like, there's that push and pull between being an author and being a reader, like just being a fan of books. And I feel like in terms of my tastes in reading, like, obviously I love YA and I read so much YA, but I also like to read other things as well. But I feel like it's a good thing, like, the YA community in Australia is so strong that all the authors, you know, we all buy each other's books and we all support each other. And I guess it's a good way to connect with readers too, to show them that you're reading the latest Australian YA books. Uh-huh. But I feel like because of that, I have like less time to sort of follow kind of different stories, like down rabbit holes, like to my specific taste maybe. And like, I know for sure that there's some books that I'm really enjoying to read at the moment, which are a completely different genre to what I write in, that, you know, I can't just kind of get enthusiastic about that stuff on, say, Instagram, because it doesn't really work, like, in terms of, you know, I don't want to say author brand because it sounds so like cold and calculating, but
right.
It's like if I put up a picture of, say, one of the books I've been recently reading, which is like contemporary translated literary fiction, which is, you know, just completely not what I write, you know, I wouldn't get any comments and I wouldn't be able to connect with readers. And it just doesn't work in like building what you're trying to build in terms of a community. Like,
I suppose so, but don't you think that's who you are as a reader, as well as a writer, you know?
But like, do you maybe put that up there or not?
Oh, I think you do. If you if you love a book, you put it up there and you show people what you love to read. And you know, I guess I have a bit of that dichotomy as well, because I write children's and I write adults' books as well. So maybe because of that, I don't have quite the need to... you know, to just follow along with one particular genre. But
that's really cool.
I think that people do want to know who you are as a person as well. And that's who I am as a person, that I read and I write a real variety of things. And I don't think it's, maybe you won't get lots of likes, maybe you won't get, you know, lots of shares on those particular posts, but people that are interested, they'll go, hey, wow, there's more to her than just YA. I don't know. That's
really interesting, actually, Sonia, because it's something like I've been struggling with a lot. Like, this is my second book that's just come out, which is, you know, light contemporary YA kind of romancey vibes. And I've written another manuscript that's similar that I'm hopeful will come out. And it's like, after that, I feel like I want to kind of change, like, I guess what I'm doing. Like, as a reader, I love so many different things, and as a writer, I want to try them. And it's something I've been really worried about, like, can you just bring out something that's so different? And that's interesting, because that's exactly what you've done. Like, and how do you juggle that?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of authors that have written in different genres. You know, even, you know, lots of people write children's and adults, but also within, you know, like an adult, you know, within the adult genre itself, some people write fantasy and crime, or romance and science fiction or something, you know, and how you juggle that is up to you. Some people, you know, use their own name for all of it, but there is that bit of people pick up a book by Poppy Nwosu and they think, okay, this is who, you know, they have an expectation about what they're going to get, you know. So I guess that's why some people use a different name for a different genre, so that they can write that way, and people will know, you know, if you just say, you know, Poppy, and choose a different name, different last name, maybe your maiden name or something, then, you know, they will know to have a different expectation for that one, and you can explore different genres. But at the same time, you know, if you haven't kind of pigeonholed yourself in the first place, then you have more leeway to
do vary, what you want.
Yeah, within different genres.
Yeah, so interesting.
I think it depends on how far astray you're going, you know, as well.
Well, still YA for me, but like different kind of YA is what I want to kind of do in the future, or like, you know, still write the romancey stuff that I have been, but also write other stuff as well. And I do just wonder like how that will go, I suppose, because I attended, like, through my book club, they had a conversation with a big American YA author, Bridget Kemmerer, and she was saying, like, very specifically, like, if you want a long, sustainable, you know, successful career, it's a really good idea to write at least 3, if not 5 books kind of a similar genre that will appeal to the same readers first before you start kind of, you know, trying other things. I thought that was really interesting.
I think that's a good point, that people want to be able to follow an author and know what they're going to get. And if you can build up a readership and they know that your writing is really good, then they'll be more likely to try try a different genre that you're writing, if they've had sort of consistently good books from you for a few.
It's so strategic, though, isn't it? It's like that balance between being creative and creating what you want, and then, you know, actually thinking of it in terms of having a successful career and thinking maybe of that side of being an author that is a little bit less fun to think about than just, you know, stories and ideas and creative writing.
Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking earlier, because we talked about, you know, maybe talking about writing the second or third book kind of thing. I was thinking that, you know, it, the expectations for the second or third book are so much different from the first. The first one you write because it's what you want to write, and it's an idea that just won't leave you alone, and that you really feel you need to write, and you're really passionate about. And I'm scared that you know, with the next one, I'm going to try and pigeonhole myself and go, well, readers really loved this about my first book, and so I should put more of that in it, you know. And I think that that's going to end up making it not as good, because it's not what I'm passionate about. It's not what this how the story is meant to be. And yet I'm totally scared that, you know, the second one's not going to be as good as the first, and then no one will want to read it, you know, or read my writing after that.
So scary. So I get that. I get it.
It's a real dilemma.
So are you, like, during launch month, are you still writing your second book at the moment?
I'm not at the moment.
Yeah, I was going to say, how's that working? Yeah.
Things have been really crazy. I mean, it's launch month as well, but also I'm working as well and working more than I was before the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. So I haven't had any time to continue working on that. I've certainly got a good start on it, but it's been put on the back burner for a little while.
Do you think you'll write it differently now that your book is out there, like your first book?
That's a good question. As I said, it's hard to ignore things that people have said about the first book, and there's been a lot of attention to the historical section in Inheritance of Secrets. You know, lots of people have said that's the part that they loved about it. And the next one that I'm working on, it does kind of have a that sort of dual timeline kind of thing as well. But I was debating whether to put it as an actual historical thread, like I did with Inheritance of Secrets, or to more weave it into, you know, sort of flashbacks and things like that. So I guess it doesn't really affect the story itself, but perhaps the way that I present it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I guess it's hard not to be impacted by that kind of stuff. Like, if you're privy to how people are feeling and thinking, that it's hard not to take it kind of on board, I think. It's interesting for me, like, my first one came out and I'd written my second one, like, during the editing process for my first. So I never had that experience of trying to write a follow-up after I'd gotten the feedback on the one that had been published, I suppose. And now on my third book is kind of what I'm struggling with. And it's been like a lot harder process for me on the third one than I feel like the other two. I think the other two were easier to write in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I don't even know why, but this one, the manuscript I'm working on at the moment, is just... I'm just needing so much more help with it. Like, it's like I can't see it, and I'm getting so much more input, say, from my agent and, like, editor and stuff like that, than I have in the past. Like, structurally, I suppose. It's been a headache, actually.
Yeah. Well, I know your first two books are both set in the same place, in the same school. So is this a big departure from that?
No, I mean, not really. So, like, my idea, I'm talking about the whole sustainable career thing, was that this third one would fit in. And the idea is they'd be kind of an unofficial trilogy. They're all standalone, like YA, but they have the same vibes, and they're all kind of connected, but still standalone. So the third one is set in the same area, but it's actually a road trip, so they leave the area and they go off into the desert, and maybe that's it, because it's new. I don't know. Or maybe I don't even know why I've struggled with it so much. It's just been harder. It's that weird thing, like, why doesn't it get easier to write a book, like, each time? It's supposed to get harder. Like, what's up with that?
I don't know. Is it ever easier to write a book?
Well, apparently not. Apparently it's always awful.
Apparently not, no. I don't have an answer for you, but I'm sure it will be brilliant when it comes out, regardless how it comes to fruition.
I'm actually
amazed that you were able to write another book while you were in the editing process for the first, because I just couldn't switch heads like that. You know, I was so immersed in the editing process for the first book that I couldn't get my mindset around the characters and the story for the second one. So it got put on hold during that period as well.
That's fair enough. I think it's so hard though, isn't it? Like when you're stopping and starting writing a book, like I think it's so often like that. It's unusual to get an extended period of time where you can just sink into something. So much of it is like you write a bit and then you don't write anything for months and then you go back and you're like, what even was this? Like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
That editing process for you on your first one, like what was that like then? If you said it was quite all consuming?
Yeah, well, I guess with my children's work, now that I've done the editing for this one, I don't think I ever had a true structural edit for my children's books. Mm. And so that was just quite, you know, I don't know, confronting maybe or just a very new experience. And, you know, you get all those comments and pages of feedback on your work and it takes a while to sink in. You kind of go, oh, you know, I thought this was actually half decent, but it turns out maybe it wasn't. So I would work on it really intensely for, you know, I'd have about 6 weeks or so to do the edits, and a lot of it was, you know, putting in a new chapter or expanding on characters, relationships, or you know, things like that that took a lot of thinking and research. You know, it was really big picture stuff. Maybe that was different with your experience, but that's the first time that I'd had to do that. And I really loved doing it once I got over the feeling of distress from reading the structural edit. And I think that it's, you know, I think that I've learned so much about it. Now, whether I can apply that to the second book in the first instance is another matter, but I really saw how it improved the book, so I was just really pleased to do it, but yeah.
That's really interesting. I think, because it's interesting in terms of editing on my first two, I feel like there was a little bit of structural stuff, but maybe in hindsight, looking at it now, not that much. Like that were big picture changes that I had to do. So it was like I felt like I kind of got the structure and pacing and stuff fairly right on, you know, like by myself before I got, you know, editor and publisher and stuff involved. And there was obviously changes, but nothing like huge. And then maybe that is why I'm struggling so much with what I'm working on now, because like what you just said with yours, I think this might actually be my first time having bigger, like stressful, distressing changes and having to really, you know, really make changes that are bigger, that are rippling out and changing like everything. And it's so, it's big. It's a lot of work. Like even just to get your head around, it feels big, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. My problem with this one is the main character's personality. I've got like, it's just not working. And then obviously if you change her personality, like the whole book is through her viewpoint. So the ripple out is just enormous. So lots of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like you change one little thing and then for the whole rest of the book, it you have to make all these little changes to accommodate for it.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's a big thing, you know, if you're not feeling her personality, if it doesn't seem to be working for you in the book, then that's something you've got to get right, because that's her voice, isn't it?
So true, particularly like in YA where voice is so important and it's from her point of view. It's so funny because like when my editor kind of pointed out to me the problems with her personality, I'm like, I cannot believe I didn't see that. Like it's so obvious now in hindsight, but, you know, I just had no idea. It's really weird.
But that's what they're there for.
So true.
They have such insight and they can see things that we can't see at all in our own work.
I guess you just get too close to it and then it's like it's impossible to see anything. Well, one of the things on our list that we were going to chat about was imposter syndrome. I feel like we've sort of touched on some of that, but I don't even like that word or set of words, like imposter syndrome. I feel like I wish there was a different way to describe that feeling. I don't know why. I don't like it.
It's kind of true though, you know, you feel like you're putting yourself out there as a as a writer or an author. Yeah. But you just, I don't know. You just feel like, is that really true? You know, obviously it is. I mean, we've both written, we've both been published. We've been continuing to write for, you know, years and years. So that's part of who we are. But I guess it's that whole thing about putting yourself out in public and putting on the public face as an author. And
Getting asked questions like you're an expert. It's an interesting experience.
Yeah. And I want to preface things by saying, well, this is how I do it, but other people, and it's very true, other people, everybody does things in a different way. So the way that I do it might not work for somebody else.
Yeah, that's so true. I think maybe I already told you, Sonia, I can't remember, but I had this really nice reader who turned up to like, to my book launch back when we had book launches in person in stores for my debut. And she'd read my book already. Like, it was amazing. It was the first time that ever happened to me. She was so nice. And then when my second book came out recently, she emailed me and we were emailing back a bit, back and forth a little bit. And she's a writer as well. She's at uni and she's not studying writing, but she has a little writing club with two friends and it's how they keep in touch. And she said in this email, she was like, oh, when I read my friend's work, you know, I just feel like I'm not as good as them. Like, my writing just is not as good and I feel so inadequate. And she said that when she reads, you know, favorite authors and authors she loves, then again, it makes her feel so dejected that she could never be as good. And like, reading that email, I was just like, oh my gosh, like, my first reaction was like, no, like, I'm sure you're amazing, don't think like that. But then my second thought was, you know, I have two books out published, I'm working on my third, and I feel that way all the time, like exactly the same. And, you know, I just think that's so awful.
And you shouldn't, because your writing is amazing. And, you know, you and I are in a critique group together. And when I read your stuff, I just go, wow, where did this come from? Because
that's
it's,
so nice.
It's just so, so good. And, you know, I have the same sense of, you know, like, oh, I could never write like Poppy does. You know, she's just so amazing.
Well, that's crazy, because I do that with you as well. I don't, isn't that ridiculous? You know, that comparison thing, like, always, instead of, I wish I could just read something else, like, you know, read your writing and feel inspired, you know, rather than, oh no, like, I'm not as good.
yes, that is so true. I wish I could too. I don't know, it's weird. Like, I want to be supportive to people, and I feel like I am supportive to people. I think that you know, everybody in our group is so amazing, and I think that people have made so many changes and improved so much over the few years that we've been in that group. You know, I think it's absolutely wonderful. But at the same time, I go, I kind of, you know, get this feeling of, you know, oh, you know, why can't I be as good as them? You know,
yeah, it's crazy.
Why can't I write it like that?
Well, I think it's like, it's such an up and down emotion too, because it's not like I don't know about you, but for me, like, it's not like I feel that way all the time. Sometimes, you know, I'll read back on my work and I'll be like, oh my gosh, this is actually pretty good, like, I feel really confident about this. But then the problem is, the next day you could read the exact same passage and be like, blurg, this is awful. Erratic and non-logical, I think.
And if I pick up actually my published book, like, you know, and I start reading it, I go, oh wow, did I actually write that? Like, and how did that happen? You know, this is actually quite good. How did I write that? You know, and then I go, oh, I'll never be able to do that again. Like,
wow, that's like you're even comparing yourself to yourself in a negative way. Oh my gosh. I don't know. That's crazy. That's very funny.
Yeah.
And awful.
That is a bit, sorry.
Oh gosh. I don't know. What else? Anything else? Or is that, I don't even have a timer on this thing, so.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
It's kind of fun talking about all that stuff.
You've been listening to The First Time Podcast. The First Time Podcast is produced by Phoebe 80 and supported by Writers Victoria, the ACT Writers Centre, and our wonderful patrons.
This series is supported by the City of Melbourne through a COVID-19 arts grant.